The Lord is risen. The Lord is truly risen. Alleluia. Happy Easter once again. When theologians talk about the essential elements of the church, they use Greek words, which I'm going to talk about just for a moment. The first word is kerygma. You might have heard it, maybe not. It means preaching. The church is not the church unless it preaches about Jesus. The second Greek word is communio. That's actually a Latin translation of it. It means relationships, you know, of Christians with one another, which is another essential sign of the church, that we have friendships and we share faith and we are a community of brothers and sisters to one another. And the third characteristic of the church is diakonia, which means service, that we aren't the church unless we serve other people, even people outside our community, taking care of the poor, the hungry, the homeless, and those kind of things. So the three essential elements of the church that are required of us, that we find in the Acts of the Apostles, are preaching about Jesus, building up community, and thirdly, service to other people. Today's first reading and the second reading are examples of the kerygma, the preaching of the early church. Actually, the first reading is one of St. Peter's first sermons. If you look at the whole passage from the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, it goes on for a long, long time. So it isn't just priests today who preach long. Peter actually did it in the early church. But the essential part of the preaching can be summed up in a few words, which I'm going to read to you now. Let this be known to you, and listen to my words, St. Peter said. This man, Jesus, you killed, but God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. God raised this Jesus, of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father and poured him forth as you see and hear. So the essential preaching of the early church was Jesus died, Jesus was raised from the dead, he ascended to the Father and sends the Holy Spirit into the life of the church. So if those of us who are preachers don't preach about anything else, we should be preaching about the death and resurrection of Jesus and the sending of the Holy Spirit. Our second reading, which is from the first letter of St. Peter, is also an expression of the kerygma. I'd just like to review it again with you for a moment. He said, St. Peter says to us, realize that you were ransomed from your futile conduct, handed on by your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a spotless, unblemished lamb. And we were saved from our sins by Jesus' death on the cross. He goes on to say, God raised him from the dead and gave him glory. Once again, the essential preaching of the church is about Jesus risen from the dead. Now, that being the case, it's kind of surprising that church doesn't talk more about the resurrection of Jesus, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things, morality and things that are really important to us, but we need to be spending more of our time in church preaching simply about Jesus so that all of us fall in love with him. You know, you can't be Christians unless you have a personal relationship with the risen Lord. He's present in the church today as he was present in the church of the Acts of the Apostles, and he calls us to a personal relationship. Now, with all that as background, I'd like to talk about today's gospel, which is one of the resurrection stories about Jesus. This one is from the Gospel of St. Luke, and the story of Jesus on the road with his disciples to Emmaus, a city not far from Jerusalem. And there are several characteristics of the story that I'd like to bring to your attention before trying to bring it all together. It says there, that very day, the first day of the week, this is Easter Sunday itself, two of Jesus' disciples were on their way to Emmaus. Now, scripture scholars are always asking questions, and the question they ask about this particular part of the story is, why were they leaving Jerusalem? They were going in the wrong direction, right? I mean, Jesus had risen from the dead in Jerusalem, and they were running away to another place, to another town. And scripture scholars are guessing that the reason they're doing this is because they're afraid. They're afraid that the same thing would happen to them that happened to Jesus. A characteristic of the early church is the disciples were always afraid before they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So here they were, going away from the resurrection of Jesus from the dead to another strange town. And they were conversing about all things that had occurred. And they were debating among themselves about what had happened. And Jesus came and walked with them. They didn't recognize him. You know, it's interesting that they didn't go to Jesus, but he came to them, which is another consistent direction in the scriptures, that, you know, we don't come to Jesus on our own, he comes to us. You know, he's after your love, he's after my love, he wants to draw us to himself. And that's what's happening in today's gospel. These are the people that fled. You know, they betrayed Jesus, and they were cowards, and they fled. And Jesus came back from the dead, and he came back to them. He didn't just come back, but he came back to those who had betrayed him. And Jesus, of course, asked them, what are you talking about? Trying to enter into their conversation. And this is interesting. He says, they said to him, the things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and man, and how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. It's interesting that they pushed the blame to someone else. You know, they didn't accept their own responsibility as disciples who had betrayed Jesus. They were talking about those bad other people, what they had done. Our leaders crucified him, you know, deflecting attention from themselves and their own sins. And then they said, we were hoping that he was the Messiah. You know, their hope is something in the past. They've given up hope. But they said, but some foolish women came and told this story about him, the tomb being empty and seeing Jesus. And then Jesus says to them, you're the foolish ones. It actually says here, you know, Jesus said, oh, how foolish you are, slow of heart. You know, talking about us, of course. You know, it isn't the ones who know Jesus risen from the dead who are foolish, but it's us who have slow hearts. And then beginning with Moses, which means the first five books of the Bible, and the prophets, the other parts of the Old Testament, he began to explain to them how it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and die and rose from the dead. Then, after he had encouraged them with his word, he pretended like he was going on as they stopped at an inn. And the scriptures tell us that the disciples said, why don't you stay with us for the night? And as they were sharing a meal, it says Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them, and they recognized who he was. Now, theologians, when they reflect on this passage, say that the journey to Emmaus, this story, takes place every Sunday when you and I gather for Mass. Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, we are coming from lives full of confusion, difficulty, and pain, right? We've somehow, in some situations at least, given up hope. And Jesus comes to us in this church today and, once again, explains to us in the scriptures, which are read to us from the pulpit, sometimes the Old Testament, sometimes the New Testament, all that's important in life. And we, you know, like the early disciples, are supposed to be paying attention. And then finally, he once again breaks bread with us. In the early church, the Eucharist, which we celebrate tonight, was referred to as the breaking of the bread. So what we're doing here every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, he is truly present, living in the church, living among us, coming to us, revealing his word. And so we discover in church how to see the risen Christ in our time. He's discovered in discussion and debate. Do you ever spend any time thinking about the faith of the church, reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church, for example, and discussing it? Do you ever go to adult education classes? You know, people sometimes tell me it's so hard for me to experience Jesus, but they don't take any efforts to try. And as Jesus was discovered by these apostles in that dialogue and debate, Jesus comes to us in our community relationships in the church, in our study, you know, our adult education classes or whatever, and in that context, he reveals himself to us today. Do we really make an act of faith when we receive Holy Communion and we come together to celebrate the breaking of the bread at this altar behind me? Do we make an act of faith in the Lord's living presence among us? He's certainly present in the bread which becomes his body and the wine which becomes his blood, but he's also present in the community in our relationships with one another. You know, the preaching of the gospel, the kerygma, takes place here. Communio, the building of relationships, begins to take place here, but should take place at other places too. And we're supposed to, living out our Catholic faith, enter into acts of love and service to other people. And it's in all of that that we discover the risen Lord present among us. One other thing. Last Sunday, you might remember the other story that took place on Easter Sunday night when Jesus appeared to his apostles in the upper room. Remember last week? We heard that story. He appeared to them. He showed them his hands and his side, his wounds, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven." And he offered them the gift of peace. Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection and forgiveness. This Sunday, the focus is on the resurrection and witnessing. You know, Jesus pointed out to those foolish disciples on the road to Emmaus that their conversation among themselves wasn't enough. When they discovered him in the breaking of the bread, we're told that they enthusiastically ran back to share the good news of Jesus with the apostles and discovered that Jesus had appeared to Peter as well. And they said, "Our hearts were burning when he spoke to us." And that burning heart led them to share the good news of Jesus' resurrection from the dead with others. And that's an important part of being a Christian, that having received that gift, we give it to others. In some sense, witnessing is the fundamental vocation of those of us who are Christians. Witnessing means you point to something beyond yourself. Like if you're called to be a witness at the trial, you don't talk about yourself. You talk about something you saw or something you heard. The disciples were witnesses. Peter, in the first reading today, was witnessing to the faith of the church in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And you and I are called to be witnesses of Jesus in our own time in the world today. How much of a part of your life is witnessing to the resurrection of Jesus? Do you share the good news of Jesus with other people? Everyone in this room today is a recipient of the witness of others. Sometime in the past, someone loved Jesus enough to talk about him to others. And those others talked to your parents or your grandparents, and they talk to you and you talk to your children. The Christian faith is a faith that we receive from witnesses. If we don't witness, nobody does. If the faith isn't passed on to the next generation, whose fault is it? Not mine. I talk about Jesus all the time. That's my job. It's your fault. You know, you're called to be witnesses as well as me. Now, unfortunately, some of the witnessing to Jesus that we give is empty. We're only repeating things we've heard from other people. We haven't experienced him ourselves. And if you don't experience Jesus yourself, it's hard for you to be a convincing witness of the resurrection of Jesus to other people. Perhaps that's the reason we don't talk about it very much, is because we haven't experienced it ourselves. So we ask the Lord to give us the experience in our life that he gave to the disciples on the road to Emmaus in today's gospel. We ask him to walk along with us to tomorrow and the next day and the next day, revealing himself to us. But we have to do that together as a community in that discussion and that debate that I was talking about earlier. In genuine celebrations of the Eucharist, where we are enthusiastic about what we're doing because we're women and men of firm faith. And if we do that, the world will be transformed again, as it was at the time of the Acts of the Apostles, because Jesus truly is risen from the dead, and he lives among us, calling us to be his witnesses in our world. Please stand and join with me in professing our faith. We're going to use the Apostles' Creed rather than the Nicene Creed, so you might go to page 13 of your hymnal, where you'll find the words of our common profession of faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, the Lord shows us the path to life with his saving word. Let us take refuge in him as we bring to him all of our petitions. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer.